Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
From KQED.
Some interviewer asked her, like, what do you think about amateur runners who just run marathons? She's like, I don't know if I could ever run that long. And everyone's like, that's just because you can run fast. That's not fair.
This is Political Breakdown from KQED in San Francisco. I'm Guy Marzorati in for Scott Schaefer. Today on The Breakdown, California high schoolers could soon have a new class on their transcript, personal finance. Supporters of offering pocketbook economics to every student in the state say financial literacy is a necessity in today's world, and they're aiming to take the issue to the November ballot. But given all that's going on in California schools, is now the right time to add a new graduation requirement, and is going to the ballot the best way to do it? Joining us to talk about the California Personal Finance Initiative is the man behind the measure, Tim Ranzetta, co-founder of NextGen Personal Finance. Tim, welcome to The Breakdown.
Great to be here, Guy.
So great to have you. So earlier this month, your campaign submitted around 900,000 signatures to put a question on the November ballot. Should one semester of personal finance be a graduation requirement? What would students learn in this personal finance class?
So many lessons that they're going to be able to use, many of them almost immediately in their lives. So, you know, just kind of, I think the most important issues would be things like creating a budget to live independently. That's often an eye-opener for students. Another is credit scores and really understanding what the value of a good credit score is and the cost of not having a good credit score. And then lastly, I think the really thinking about their plans post-high school, whether that might be trade school, might be a four-year college, a two-year college, just giving them the time and space to really think through those big decisions they have lurking.
Yeah. I mean, we should know in the coming months whether this measure has made it onto the ballot. But what's your pitch to voters? I mean, why is it vital in your mind that high schoolers learn about personal finance?
I think number one, when we think about sources of information today, young people ideally would be getting this information in the household. But we know based on many, many surveys that this is often a taboo subject to be discussed. So therefore, students are getting the information from social media. They're getting it from TikTok. They're getting it from YouTube. They're getting it from Reddit. And without a foundational course in personal finance, they're not really able to determine what's good advice from bad. Because we know on many of these platforms, there's such a proliferation of get-rich-quick schemes, day trading, even foreign exchange trading. I mean, things like that to an inexperienced mind, you see all, you know, you see the person pitching these services and you believe that this is the way to build wealth. And so I think it's absolutely critical that young people get this information. The good news is those who do take the course, you know, we've seen so many testimonials across the country. We've seen op-eds written in school newspapers. I mean, those who take the course advocate for it because they see the value in it.
I mean, it seems easier than ever to make a bad decision financially these days.
Yeah, the speed at which decision-making takes place, right? Like, you think about all the things you can purchase online by clicking one button. You think about buy now, pay later, which seems so attractive because who can't afford a payment if you split it into four equal payments? We know based on history, though, 40% of people who use buy now, pay later, pay late. And so there's all sorts of also dark patterns, the way websites are developed in order to persuade people to take actions that are in the best interest of the company, not necessarily the individual.
Now, California high schools are already required to offer one semester of economics. Is there any pocketbook economics required in that?
Yeah, so not required. So, you know, as you alluded to, the course in economics typically is focused on macroeconomics, things like the structure of the Federal Reserve, supply-demand curves, and less about issues, topics that we discussed earlier, like budgeting, investing. And so, you know, while there's guidance given in the economics course that says, you know, it should be taught, when you actually break it down and when you talk to teachers and you talk to students, it's often 1 to 2 weeks in a course, which really just do it justice in terms of, you know, all of the issues that have to get tackled in a comprehensive course. And I think it's best taught in a hands-on way. And so that can't be accomplished in such a short period of time.
Now, the proposal that you're putting forward does not add hours to the school day. So if personal finance becomes a required class, what goes?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we have a lot of precedent to look at. You know, just in the last 3 years, we've seen 17 states across the country make this guarantee to their high school students that they will take a one semester personal finance course. And the approaches they've taken have been very different. And so you're exactly right. This is not an extra graduation requirement. I think the skill more is determining where this fits best within existing graduation requirements. So maybe you reduce the number of electives that students take by a half, and that's substituted with a personal finance course. Maybe it's can count as a social studies course or a math course. I think, and that decision is typically made, what we've seen in other states is typically a local decision, especially in California, which has a low number of graduation requirements where you see a lot of variability district to district, kind of leaving that decision to local districts where it fits best.
But you are putting forward a proposal for a distinct class. This is not something that could just be folded into the current.
That's correct. Yeah. And the rationale there is that it doesn't work when it's embedded in another course. We research out there suggests when it is embedded in another course, about 60% of the time it's not taught. And so it's a challenge, right? It's a challenge we ask educators to take up. If we ask them to embed it, what are you going to take out of your existing course? And we just think, given the comprehensive nature of it, it can't be 2 or 3 or even 4 weeks. It really, the number of topics are so broad, and again, best taught in a way that's very hands-on, where students are grappling with these issues. We think it's best, and research shows that it's best taught as a semester long.
Now, California has a traditional process for updating curriculum. Why are you not going in that route, and why are you going directly to the voters?
Yeah, the legislative approach is definitely one that's worked. Again, those 17 of the 17 states that have recently required this, they've all gone through the legislative route. And so what we know is that California parents and guardians really want this for their children. We also know that it's a very urgent need. And so the good news is there is a bill that was introduced in February, AB 2927, which mirrors the language in the initiative. And so we support that. And again, all we are seeking to accomplish here is to guarantee that every high school student gets a personal finance course. If it happens through the legislature, great. If not, we're prepared to take it to the ballot in November.
You call it an urgent need. I mean, what is the path forward if this makes it on the ballot, passes in November? How quickly could we see these classes introduced in California?
Yeah, so I think it's absolutely critical. You know, getting it passed through the legislature or getting it passed by the voters, that's step one. And then the real hard work happens. And so what's in the initiative as well as the legislation is a 6-year implementation period. And so there's a period of time we need to make sure there's an elective in every high school in California. So several years are provided to make that happen. And then it would be the class of 2030 that would be the first class that would graduate with that requirement.
So an elective. So to start out, basically, it would be kind of a phased in approach. Is that right?
Exactly. And that works best. You have to walk before you run. And the good news is what we've seen, you know, for example, in Tara Razzi, who teaches down in San Marcos, she started with one elective and a semester later had 6 sections. So once it's added as an elective, it's amazing how much discussion occurs in the hallways as well as with parents who want this class for their children.
That's Tim Ranzetta, founder of Next Gen Personal Finance. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation about the ballot measure campaign he's putting forward for the November election. You're listening to Political Breakdown. I'm Guy Marzorati. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to Political Breakdown. I'm Guy Marzorati here with Tim Ranzetta. He's co-founder of NextGen Personal Finance, and he's leading a campaign to make personal finance a high school graduation requirement, hoping to put that question before California voters in November. So, Tim, you're putting a lot of time, you're putting a lot of your own money into this campaign. Take us into, you know, what got you into this work? What made you passionate about it?
Sure. I guess if we start at the beginning, I was one of the fortunate few who actually learned this in my household. My father was a banker. He kind of worked his way up from bank teller to a position where he could raise six children in a middle-class community. And then from my mom, I learned the value of giving back. You know, my mom raising six kids wasn't enough for her. She was the Girl Scout troop leader. She was the story hour coordinator. She wrote the Paris newsletter. And so in some ways, this work honors them. But what really lit my fire around financial literacy was volunteering. I volunteered to teach a high school course in East Palo Alto. And this was a school serving students who were trying to be first in their family to go to college. And I just saw the impact the course had, not only on the students, but the ripple effect as I started to hear from their parents. They wanted to learn how to start investing for retirement. They wanted someone to take a look at their budget. They were proud to talk about how they looked at their 401k and kind of understood the differences between the different funds because of the conversations they had. For me, that was, so I taught that class for 8 summers, and it was about 2 years into it where I just realized every student in America deserves what these young people are getting, which is a course in personal finance.
And it sounds like you saw it also paying dividends for some of those kids' families.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I get chills down my spine just thinking about, you know, the visit to a brokerage office I made with one of my students' parents so that he could sign up for a retirement account. And I saw the look, and his child was with us, and I just realized there was a multi-generational effect here that's incredibly powerful.
And then you started NextGen Personal Finance. Tell us a little bit about that. What's the work that you do there?
Sure. So we started with a very simple mission, as I alluded to. Doesn't every young person deserve a course in personal finance? So we wanted to create the organization to do that. And so we're a nonprofit organization that really serve educators in three ways. One is through our curriculum, where next month we'll announce it'll be our 10-year anniversary, and we'll have reached 100,000 educators in all 50 states, including 6,000 in the state of California. We also provide professional development because educators are very eager to learn these concepts along with their students to further their own learning. And what's great about that, we talk about the impact on students, we talk about the impact on parents, there's an impact on teachers, a very real one, as they dive in deeper and learn more about investing, for example, with their 403b plans. And then the third thing we do is advocacy. So it was about 3 years ago, we set up an affiliated organization so we could advocate in state legislatures, because the only way we found to create action on an urgent basis was really to go the state legislatures. And the good news, again, is this is an incredibly popular issue. And it doesn't matter where you sit on the political spectrum. You know, what other issue can you think of where Governor DeSantis of Florida and Governor Whitmer of Michigan can agree? Well, they both passed laws in 2022 that would require personal finance in their states.
I think it's worth asking, your nonprofit, you know, provides curriculum, teacher training around personal finance. This measure would suddenly require districts around the state to need that kind of curriculum and teacher training. It sounds like maybe it's worth, benefiting your nonprofit if this passes.
Yeah. So I think what's really important to understand is, you know, we take our mission 2030, which is every high school student in America by the year 2030 taking a personal finance course. We take it seriously, and so seriously that everything we do is at no cost. So there's no cost for our curriculum. There's no cost for our professional development. And so we've made a down payment in California anticipating this change. What does that mean? It means we currently have we've invested more than $2 million by supporting four of the largest districts in the state so they can start to prepare for this requirement. And then we've also provided stipends or grants to educators to encourage them to participate in professional development.
I know we see in California often a really big disparity in available electives between wealthier public school districts, more low-income public school districts. Is that what you see in terms of the current landscape of personal finance electives in California?
Yeah, it's even broader than that. I mean, I think, you know, nationwide, just roughly three quarters of schools have a personal finance elective. In California, the comparable number is 25%. So I think it's more a systemic issue across all districts in California. However, when we do look at it nationally, you're spot on in terms of lower income districts, less likely to have a personal finance elective.
So let's talk about if this passes, school districts would need to hire or train teachers. The Legislative Analyst Office put out an estimate that said this could increase state costs by tens of millions of dollars. Do you think it's feasible to stand up these programs in the next few years? And maybe should this be a priority for the state, given this massive, potentially $70 billion deficit that we're facing?
Yeah, so a couple things there. One is there are grant dollars available to districts. So there was a bill passed in 2022, which included financial literacy as one of the areas where districts could request funding. Second is, when you think about that relative to the overall education budget, which is over $100 billion, we're talking about really a drop in the bucket.
And we should say they estimate those costs would decrease once
decrease
that
over
initial
time.
Training
yes.
has been done.
Because what we've seen in other states is the schools and districts are not adding teachers. They're just taking existing teachers and reallocating them. So perhaps they used to teach a business elective and now they'll teach more personal finance. The last point I'll make is I can't imagine a better investment, because when you talk about, you know, tens of millions of dollars, we actually think the number's lower, but the payback, you know, there was a report that came out from Titan Partners, and it estimated the lifetime value of a personal finance course for a California student as $127,000. When you consider about 400 to 450,000 students a year taking a personal finance course, you're talking about tens of billions of dollars of value that's being created.
But it does sound like, at least in the short term, there's going to be a burden on districts. They're going to have to figure out the curriculum, the training, maybe the backfill. You'd acknowledge that?
Yeah, and we are there to partner with them. I mean, I think it's, again, we've made a down payment. We think we're going to continue to make investments, because this isn't about legislation. This isn't about getting the vote passed in November. This is about ensuring every student in every classroom has a engaging, real-life curriculum taught by a teacher that's highly qualified and confident to teach it.
So let's talk a little bit about the legislative path. You mentioned there's a bill similar to your ballot initiative moving in Sacramento right now. There have been past proposals similar to this in recent years. What have been the roadblocks you've seen in Sacramento to these ideas?
Yeah, so I think it's always interesting for people to hear. In 2016, there was a bill that passed that said the next time the frameworks for history and social sciences were updated, they might include personal finance. Well, we're 8 years later in 2024, and that has not been updated to date. I think it's just a process. It's a process issue in terms of when that's next scheduled to be updated. Last year's bill, you know, that was actually very similar to the bill that was introduced this year with some additions, some changes, and that got watered down in committee to where it was basically a status quo bill. And so that's kind of why the decision was made this year when we polled and saw how popular this issue was with California voters, where, you know, three quarters to 80% of voters agree that this should be a priority, that every high school student would benefit from taking a personal finance course. That was why we originally went down this path.
And I think the opportunity is still open in the legislature. There's now laws in California where even if your ballot measure does qualify for November, you have a window kind of towards the end of June to potentially negotiate, potentially pull the measure off the ballot. What would a compromise look like to you? Are you open to that? Is it I want this language, and I'm going to go to the ballot to get it.
Yeah, no, I think we are open to compromise. What we won't compromise, though, is on a policy that works. And the policy that we know works is a standalone, guaranteed, one-semester personal finance course for all students. But we're happy to, you know, take recommendations, take ideas from various stakeholders to the extent that they want to work around that issue. But I think that's the core, because we know that policy works. And frankly, I feel like I have a responsibility now that we have almost 900,000 people who've signed on to say that this is what California should do.
I mean, it seemed like that was the piece of it last time around, right? I think there was some language put in to say maybe this could be folded into existing economics classes. And that seems like that's not something you're willing to.
It doesn't work. I mean, ultimately, we want a policy that's going to work for California students, for California families, and frankly, for the California economy. And we know if you water it down and just have a couple of weeks within an existing course, it doesn't work.
All right. Well, we're going to leave the conversation there. Tim Ranzetta, co-founder of NextGen Personal Finance, thank you so much for coming in, taking the time to chat with us.
Great to be here. Thanks, Guy.
And that's a wrap for Monday, March 25th. Political Breakdown is a production of KQED. Our engineer is Catherine Monahan. Our producer is Izzy Bloom. I'm Guy Marzorati. Thanks for listening.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.